Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. We come to God's Word to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. We're going to conclude our series in Exodus next Sunday morning by going to the very last chapter of Exodus. So if you want to read ahead there. But we come now to Exodus chapter 18. And I'd like to speak to you about living out renewal. By God's grace, we've been for months in a season of renewal as a church. We sense His presence among us. We sense something stirring. I don't think we've seen yet the full breakthrough of all that He wants to do among us. But there's just been a wonderful sense of the renewing work of God's Spirit in our lives. And I treasure that. That's holy ground. And I don't want anything to hinder that or to grieve that. Thank God for His renewing work in our lives. And the question before us as we come to Exodus chapter 18 is, how do we live out that renewal? How do we continue to live in renewal and live it out? And Exodus, at this point, by the time we get to Exodus chapter 18, the people of God are in major renewal. They've been liberated from 400 years of slavery, literal slavery. They've miraculously crossed the Red Sea. They are now in the wilderness on the way to the land that the Lord promised to them. God's keeping His promise after literally centuries. He's going to take them to the land of promise. They're no longer slaves. That's like us when we come to Jesus. We're no longer slaves. Life is very, very new. We don't have hope that's eclipsed with pain. They're not suffering under Egyptian tyranny. They now have true hope. They are moving forward. I felt like that's God's word for us in this new year as a church family. Forward. This is hope that becomes real. Renewal always involves the restirring up of hope in our lives. True hope. Not hope that's just stifled with pain and despair, but true hope that renewal always brings by His Spirit. And renewal always brings a new kinds of work of His Spirit among us. They're seeing God literally here in the wilderness feed them with manna every day. Water flows out of the rock to give them drink as tens of thousands of people are being maintained and cared for by the hand of God in the barren wilderness. This is miraculous. And when renewal comes, miraculous things by the power of God's hand begin to happen. Thank God for what happened here last Sunday. Although I was the other side of the world, Tim Enlow was here, and I hear you had some fantastic services here of God doing miraculous things, healing and filling people with His Spirit. This is what renewal looks like. An increased activity of the miraculous working of God. The first song we sang this morning said, God's the God of the impossible. So all of these things are restored. Our slavery is behind us. God's moving in new kinds of ways. We have hope. There's somehow faith and anticipation for the days ahead. And God's presence is among us. This is what revival, this is what renewal looks like. And we've been tasting some of that. The question by the time they get to chapter 18 is, how do they continue to live out that renewal? So verse 1 of Exodus 18, you'll also see these verses in your message, in the message notes today. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and the father-in-law of Moses. Moses had married Jethro's daughter, Zipporah. Jethro, the priest of Midian and the father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for His people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. So he heard about the incredible renewal the people of God had experienced. So verse 5, so Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons, he had two sons, and wife, came to meet him in the wilderness where he was camped near the mountain of God. So Moses and the people of Israel were camped near Mount Horeb, and Moses' father-in-law pays him a visit. Isn't it great when family from out of town comes and visits us? Or isn't, I should say, usually great when that happens? Depends, I suppose, on what they're like. But life has been a whirlwind for Moses, and they're walking in this incredible new season as a nation of God's activity and God's work and his freedom. And so Moses' father-in-law says, I need to catch up to those folks. So he brings his daughter and his two grandsons by Moses, and he comes and visits Moses in the wilderness. And what will begin to unfold in this chapter? It'll be a chapter easy to skip over. It's a wonderful chapter, like if you're preaching to pastors or something. But I think there's something here for all of us. How do we live out spiritual renewal in the long term? Not just short bursts of God's visitation and God's activity among us, but how can it be sustained in very ongoing, long-term ways in which whole communities of faith, like we are, can move forward in renewal without it dissipating, without it taking its toll unnecessarily on certain people. Renewal can be exhausting, especially for the leaders of renewal. And renewal eventually has to involve every one of us. So here we are. We're going to have this question answered for us. How can we live out spiritual renewal for the long term? And I'm going to give you the first of the two answers, and it's really simple. We need to work smart. We can't just follow emotions or the hype of the day that sometimes renewal brings, but we need to work smart. We need to live smart. In verse 13, after Jethro had arrived and had a few good nights of sleep, said the next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. And what we're going to see is a picture of Moses not working smart. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses answers him with a pretty lame excuse that in so many words says, "I think I'm indispensable." This is what Moses says to his father-in-law. He said, they need somebody. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people, they have fights with each other, these people still. They're not slaves anymore, but they still have disagreements and disputes. And so I'm the one, I'm the leader. So they need to come to me to resolve these disputes because I'm the guy. Well, verse 17, Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good." I love people who can speak truth to power. Of course, when he's your son-in-law, that helps. Moses, this is the guy who led him out of Egypt. This was the spiritual hero, Moses. But he says, "What you're doing is not good. You and these people who came with you, who come to you, will only wear yourselves out." So he says, you will wear yourself out, and these people who are standing in the desert heat all day to get to you. You're a bottleneck in the system, Moses. You're going to wear yourself out. You can't handle all this. And you're going to wear everybody else out who's standing in the heat all day trying to get to you. The work is too heavy for you, he goes on to say at the end of verse 18. You cannot handle it alone. I like how Barbara Brown Taylor put it. She was once named one of the 10 best preachers in America. She said, "I do not mean to make an idol of health, but it does seem to me that at least some of us have made an idol of exhaustion. The only time we know we have done enough is when we are running on empty and when the ones we love most are the ones we see the least. When we lie down to sleep at night, we offer our full appointment calendars to God in lieu of prayer, believing that God, who is as busy as we are, will surely understand." I want to tell you, that's no way to live out renewal. Even though when you taste the renewing activity of God's Spirit, you will probably find yourself just on a very practical level busier than you used to be. But he's saying there's something about a whole people living out renewal together that has to be better than just exhausting ourselves. Moses was going to become exhausted living this way. The people of God were going to become exhausted, all depending on one guy. There's got to be a better way. And so Jethro is going to tell his son-in-law Moses, you need to work smarter. You need to work smart. And here's the first thing Jethro tells Moses to do, which is so important in all of us. Keep first things first. Keep first things first. Verse 19 of Exodus 18, Jethro says, listen to me, and I will give you some advice, because I'm your father-in-law, so listen up. He said, listen, I'm going to give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. The problem is when we experience renewal, a lot of other things come and take up our time. God starts using us in ministries. We start having a heart to do more than sometimes our calendar books allow us to do. And certain leaders get raised up and sometimes put on a pedestal in ways they shouldn't be put on a pedestal. And even those leaders can get delusions of grandeur. I don't care whether you lead anything or not. If you've been the product of spiritual renewal, you need to go back to stick close to those things that brought renewal in the first place. And Jethro says to his son-in-law Moses, you need to do two things. Primarily, first of all, pray a lot. You need to be these people's representative before God. I mean, if you don't have time to pray because you're baking in this desert heat, trying to be everybody's arbitrator for all the squabbles they're having, I mean, what's going to happen to the first things that brought renewal in the beginning? Your connection to God. And he said, you need to represent these people to the Lord, first of all. You need to be a person of prayer. And then you need to teach them the word of God so that they can start knowing what God requires of them, so that they can start making decisions of their own. You need to become an equipper. And so those two things, prayer and word, prayer to God and the word of God in our lives. I want to tell you, if you're a leader of something, I just believe especially spiritual leaders, some of you lead ministries, some of you lead global ministries that are sitting in this room. And I want to tell you, being a pastor, being a spiritual leader can be one of the worst things for your spiritual health that I know of. I mean, people say to me, oh, pastor, I wish I had a job like yours. I could just sit around and pray and read God's word all week. And I go, would you get a life? Like, what planet are you from? It doesn't quite come that easy, especially when God really starts moving and lots of people really start coming. I mean, life just gets complicated. And pretty soon your work for God starts to replace your walk with God. I mean, I hit that when I was 29 years old. I've told some of you my stories of dates with God on Saturday night. I was still a single guy, and I was becoming exhausted, and I was feeling indispensable. And then I'd start resenting why everybody depended on me. And I just say, if you are filling a leadership position spiritually, I know that's not all of you in this room, but if you're filling a leadership room spiritually, it took me half a year to reclaim what I'd lost just in my own love relationship with Jesus, because my activity for Jesus had replaced that. The Lord gave me this picture. I'd met a couple of couples that had divorced after 25 years of marriage, and it was after their last child left home. And they hit empty nest, and they looked at each other, and they realized they were living with a stranger, because everything in their lives had surrounded the kids. It involved the kids. You ever tried to go out on a date with your spouse and not talk about the kids? Sometimes there's nothing left to talk about. And Jesus said to me, I was only 29 years old, and the church I was pastoring had just doubled, and I was praying 2 hours a day. And Jesus said to me one day, he said, Jim, It's like those couples you just saw get divorced. Said, sure, you pray 2 hours a day, but all we do is talk about the kids. It's like you and I don't know each other like we used to know each other. And I want to tell you, spiritual renewal can complicate your life. You don't even need to be in leadership. But you get a zeal when God fills you with His Spirit. Like those of you who might have been baptized with the Holy Spirit last Sunday morning or Sunday night. When God's fire comes into your life, you want to serve Him. And you want to start letting your calendar book and your checkbook show the evidence that He's number one in your life. But there can be something subtly perverse that happens in the midst of the best of what renewingly God is doing in your life. And that is that suddenly doing things for Jesus can replace just Jesus. And Moses' father-in-law says, you just need to come back to the center of what renewal is all about, Moses. It's about being with Him, about representing these people before God, about praying your heart out and seeking God, and then being full of the Word of God and teaching the people so they know the Word. So you're not the only one who knows the Word of God. They're not all depending on you. That's what I try to do as a pastor. I teach you the Word of God so you don't need to depend on me all the time. You can listen to God's Spirit. You can understand this book for yourself. That's why I do what I do. But whether you're a leader or not, I want to tell you, first things first is always loving Jesus. And just walking with Him all day and being hungry for Him and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and letting the things that created renewal in your life continue to be the most important things. And the tragedy, I've seen it happen thousands of times in people's lives. The things that spark renewal eventually get crowded out by everything else that renewal brings. And we no longer live in that central renewal. So keep first things first, just abiding in Christ and letting His Word abide in you. Jesus said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it's going to be done. There's going to be such a relationship you have with your Heavenly Father if you will just not. And some of us just feel so pressured just to make everything work just right in our lives and make our Christianity work. And some of us are so exhausted just trying to do everything right that we don't love Jesus hardly anymore. We're just preoccupied with the pressure that's on me to get everything right. And sometimes God just says, will you just come back to your first love? Will you just come back to the thing that sparked renewal in your life in the first place? That's just loving Me and walking with Me, just being overwhelmed with My Spirit, just listening to My voice, just letting Me just break the box and write the script for you and just lead you day to day. I'll tell you, you may not even have a leadership position or even a formal volunteer position, but you're God person wherever you go. He wants you just loving Him. He just wants your heart full of Him. He just wants you abiding in Christ and His Word abiding in you. And these are the two things that Jethro's father-in-law just impresses upon Moses again. Moses, you gotta get back to the stuff that's really important. And that's the life of God and representing these people before God, being a person of prayer, and then teaching them the Word and filling your own life with the Word of God. These are, whether you lead or not, these are the core things. These are the first things first. And then, if you're going to work smart, not only do you keep first things first, but you work through people, not just for people. You work through people, not just for people. It says in verse 21, but select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. So I distinctly remember when I was a full-time engineering student at the University of Minnesota, the little Bible study I was leading had a huge spiritual breakthrough. And we had 100 students coming. I was a full-time student. I was on a research contract with Union Carbide in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, working with two professors at the University of Minnesota. I was working probably, that was taking 70 hours a week right there, 60 hours a week. And then I was leading this group. I'd never led anything that has succeeded in my life before. and 100 students, and they were starting to come to me for counseling, and I fortunately had a laboratory with a desk that was separate from all the other graduate students, and so I could talk to kids and pray for them and everything. But I'll never forget the day the Lord said, you can't do this much longer. You need to start raising up leaders. You need to start doing ministry through people, not just to them. I'll still remember that. I'll never forget it. As long as I live, I don't think, when I was standing right beside the experimental equipment in my lab, I stepped to walk over to take a measurement, and it's like the Spirit of God just said to me, this isn't unholy, this is holy stuff, this is how renewal perpetuates. We were riding the wave of a small revival, and God says, here's how it's going to go long term. You can't do this yourself, but I need you to not just do ministry to people, but I need you to do it through. I need you to raise up small group leaders and to do this. I'd forgotten about Exodus 18, but what wise things he says. He said, I want you to set up officials over thousands, over hundreds, over 50s, and over 10s. So in other words, all of the people of God out there in the wilderness were going to be in small groups of 10 people each. Over each 10, there'd be a leader. And then over those 5 leaders representing 50 people would be a coach, another leader. And then over 100 of those people, that'd be 20 coaches, there'd be another coach. And he said, divide them and appoint officials over thousands, over hundreds, over 50s, and over 10s. That's not unspiritual. That's perpetuating renewal. And that's every person finding places to step up. You see, when God fills you with the Spirit, when you experience renewal, you can get frustrated if you don't ever do anything with it. Can you imagine the hundreds and hundreds of people that would have been mobilized in leadership as Moses had to make this hard decision, not just to stand there all day and minister directly to people, but to begin to do his ministry through people. But that has everything to do with what we're about as a church. I can't, in a church this large, minister to everybody. I wish I could. You know, once a church grows over 100, a pastor needs to go from being a shepherd to a rancher, unfortunately. But no church grows over 100 unless pastors make the choice to start doing ministry through people and not to people. It's not like you're the spectators and I do all the work. That is very unbiblical. In fact, this is exactly how the church becomes modeled, that leadership gifts are given to the church, according to Ephesians 4 in the New Testament, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's right. Many of our churches stay small. Many of us have church backgrounds where we believe that one person's paid to do the ministry. We don't even volunteer, because that's why we pay the pastor. He's supposed to do it. And mercy is right. It's not right. But God says, I begin to raise them up. And this is where we begin to live out renewal. All of us find a place. I want to encourage you, whether you're in a place of spiritual leadership or not, I want you to keep first things first. Then I want you to make it your goal that at some point you're going to mentor others. You're going to encourage others. You're going to do something to serve others. Otherwise, you'll frustrate the work of the Holy Spirit. He gives his Spirit to us so that his Spirit can flow through us. And you frustrate that by just staying in a bless me mentality and I just want it all for my own and letting your insecurities lie to you and say, but I don't think I could be a blessing to anybody else. I want to tell you, the full fruit of renewal is not just ministry to you, but it's ministry through you. And there's not a person in this room that God can't use to flow through them to others. He's saying, Moses, keep first things first. Abide in the Lord. Stay in that place that brought renewal at first, the life of prayer and the life of the word, and then start ministering to people. Do ministry through them, not just to them. Minister to them in a way that you start doing it through them. And I think God says the same thing to us. Keep the things that are primary to spiritual renewal first thing in our lives, and then allow the Spirit of God not to just to minister to us, but to minister through us. You don't need to be a leader. You don't need to have title. You don't need to have position. But as I mentioned a few minutes ago, you are God's person wherever you go. And God can just speak to you prophetically wherever you are. You can be standing on the other side of a counter paying your bill and God can prompt you something about that clerk. You can come to church. My wife, you notice, never sits with me in the front row. That's because, where is she today? There you are. That's because I don't know what this says about the people around my wife, but she just goes where God prompts her to sit every week just because she just wants to be God's person. And who knows the conversation that could come out of that? You know what? It's not a bunch of rules. It's not a bunch of pressure. It's just abiding in Christ, His Word, abiding in us, living with the first things first of renewal, and then saying, God, all I know is that the Spirit you've given to me is the Spirit that you want to flow through me. That's it. That's it. The other way, in my last minute or two, the other way to say all of this is we want to live out our core values as a church. This is what we're trying to build our church life on. And I'm so grateful for the presence of God's Spirit among us and that sense of renewal that's taking place in our church life. But we felt like, as a result, we really needed to articulate values for us. This is not what we do, but this is how we do it. And you'll see on the my thanks to Joel Carter and J.T. Ray and Jill McDaniel and others. And they've done a marvelous job of putting our five core values on the walls of the lobby and picturing them. And you see these words up there. First of all, we want to be people with hungry hearts. That's keeping first things first. That's what Jethro told to Moses. Just keep being before the Lord. Don't let all this work get in the way of your prayer life and get in the way of knowing God's Word and teaching God's Word. We just need to be hungry for God. We need to have hungry hearts. I want that to mark us as a church. I love it when people visit here and they just say, I just sense God's presence in this place. Someone said that to me the other day. As soon as I even walk in the door, I just sense God's presence in this place. And it's not that it's the building, but it's God's people here dedicated to Him. And we want to be the place where God's presence. That's because we need to keep our hearts hungry for Him. We can do a lot of things for God, but we're going to mess it all up if we don't stay hungry for God Himself. Amen. And then attentive eyes to one another. Just so we want to notice each other. Why? Because it's not just the Spirit of God to us. It's the Spirit of God through us, right? So we want to notice. And we want to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we just want to be available to each other. You don't know what you can do even just by thanking somebody for attending church some days. Or you may see something, somebody, and just something will prompt in your heart, a word of encouragement for them. Or get involved in a Sunday group and where you really get to know people. You know how to pray for them specifically. All of these things. You know, I love what Homeland Security says. If you see something, say something. That sounds just like the Holy Spirit working through our lives. If you see people around you, say what the Holy Spirit's telling you to say to them. Don't insult them. Don't be rude. Don't be pushy. But make your mouth available to Him. Don't just make your mouth available to speak in tongues. That's symbolic of how God wants to use your mouth to say something to people. So He gives us eyes for people so we see people like Jesus does. And then we link our arms and we do this together. We look for prayer partners. If we have a heart for a ministry, we look for others who have the same heart. And we do it together in teams. And we have open hands and say, oh God, you've renewed my life. I'm available to you. My time and my energy and my finances are available to you. We want to be people who aren't like this, grasping what we can keep for ourselves, because the Spirit to us wants to flow through us. So we're people of open hands and a God-sized footprint. We just want God's footprint everywhere we go. We don't want our footprint. We don't want people just to hear our voice. We want people to hear God's voice, God's footprint, the evidence that the living God is working through us, His footprint everywhere we go, because we're not just taken in, but the Spirit in us that is ministered to us can flow through us. So we keep first things first. We don't let anything we do for God get in the way of loving Him and abiding in Him. But then we say, God, as you give me your Spirit, as you give it to me, I want your Spirit to begin to flow through me. These are the simple ways. I studied rocket science, so I can say with some authority, this is not rocket science. But this is living out renewal. what a smart guy Moses' father-in-law was. And because of that sound counsel, they could go on for 40 years in the wilderness and survive and eventually see promise fulfilled. I'd like you to stand with me.